Did you get the inbox message that I sent you that I had read a dissertation on understanding Finnegan's Wake that I thought was really interesting by Dan Weiss, the creator of Game of Thrones?
The creator of what?
Of the Game of Thrones.
He wrote No, I didn't get I haven't been to Duke's today. I didn't get
I was excited about this. I do want to talk about some feel. There's many, many, many things to talk about, but I have been reading Finnegan's Wake, and I've been reading it to get creative inspiration for my own writing. And I happened to come across it's not a dissertation, it was for a master's degree. So it was a thesis, a master's thesis, not for a PhD level, that Dan Weiss wrote when he was at Trinity College in Dublin.
So he's Irish.
No, he's American, but he was fascinated by Irish literature, so he went to Ireland to study. And then he wrote some novels that did really well, commercially and critically, and then he ended up writing this, he adapted the Game of Thrones, do you know those novels by that guy, what's his name, I can't remember, I'd have to Google. But he's a really famous, kind of eccentric, neat science fiction writer. And so it's cool that I found some, I want to write a TV show, right? That's what I want to do.
Yes.
I want my novels to be adapted for a TV show. So it's interesting.
Do you watch the Game of Thrones? Do you watch the Game of Thrones?
No, I don't. No.
Watch the show. It's all about, they're focusing on Carolyn. The heroine, the hero, the girl. She climaxes every season. She has a new victory, step by step, as slowly she turns, to quote the Stooges, I guess, who that was. And it's about Carolyn. It's pretty incredible, and it's a fun show to watch. Because, again,
fantastic.
It has to be about us. It's all they can do.
Well, and isn't it interesting
two little
that
dragons.
The person
two
who
little
adapted
dragons.
The...
Hey, you're not hearing me. Remember, when I speak,
not.
I stop. When you speak, I stop. When... I speak,
mm-hmm.
you stop.
On a dime.
She controls the little dragons, you know, which is America. That's a symbolism in the Game of Thrones. I don't know if that's what he put in his novels. That would be interesting to check out. But back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Next point.
Interesting that the person who adapted this novel into a screenplay was inspired by The Wake and wrote this thesis and quotes Marshall and Donald in it.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. That's even closer to Darkstown. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he knows.
So I wanted to...
But maybe he may not have any input into the TV show. I don't know. So,
no, he does.
Okay, tell me. Read some quotes.
He develops the TV show. That's the point. So, the title of his thesis is Understanding the Net Wake. So he's got net in parentheses, and he touches a little bit on the theme of it being like a radio program, but talks about it more in terms of being similar to hypertext.
Yes, that's what the newer guys say. There's an actual journal, Joyce Hypermedias, run by Louis Menard or some name like that out of Czechoslovakia, and they developed their new journal, Hyper Joyce Studies, based on Don Thiel. So that's how this guy would know about Don Thiel, maybe. Through that journal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm just going to say some of the points that he talks about.
Yes.
If that's okay. So he talks about it in terms of being a transmission, the whole book, the whole Finnegan's Wake.
The purple transmission. The purple transmission.
Exactly. And the first McLuhan quote that he uses is right on page 2 of his thesis, and it's for the content of a medium is like the juicy piece of meat carried by the burglar to distract the watchdog of the mind, as Marshall McLuhan, or the point man of this operation. Okay?
So this is a pretty good find. You hear this, Margarita? You hear all this people? This TV show you guys like comes from a guy who did his background Dobbstown work on Thiel and McLuhan. You see, this is how it's all 2 degrees separation from headquarters.
Okay. He's also talking about Umberto Eco. And I know we've mentioned him before, but, like, what do you think about Echo's analysis of
Echo
the
is in the Thompson quadrant. He's a Thompson is a famous Marxist semiotician. He's a jerk, and he wrote many books refuting McLuhan or trying to refute McLuhan, and he should have known better. And he is probably the left's answer to McLuhan.
So you don't like him?
No, I don't like him. He's okay, but not someone you'd stay with. As a matter of fact, I think he won the McLuhan, the Teleglobe McLuhan Award one year back in the 80s or 90s, and he gets the award and he just puts down McLuhan.
Oh.
These guys are serious. Okay. They're fighting the old battles from World War II. And they are silly, you know. They didn't make the cut. And he did the movie The Name of the Rose, you know, that book, and then the movie in the early 80s.
Yeah, my mom read
He's like more famous than McLuhan, at least in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I guess.
So, yes, we're not impressed with Mr. Eco.
Okay, I just wondered what you thought. Another interesting point is that, this is a slight digression, this Dan Weiss, who worked on this TV show, the guy that he co-wrote with, I can't remember his name, I'd have to Google, was a Beckett fan. So he studied Beckett.
Beckett was James Joyce's secretary. James Joyce's secretary, and some people say ruined Joyce's daughter, had some kind of affair, and then didn't complete it, so the daughter was left adrift. That's the rumor.
Well, it's kind of cool that it's Joyce and Beckett, and now it's these two guys. I think that's cool.
Right.
So then, as he's building the beginning of his thesis here, he talks about how the weight contains everything. So his writing is not about something. It is that something itself. The structure and method of the wake is what is about. The medium is the message.
He says that. Very good.
Yep.
Good,
that's the second little piece. Then he's getting into a little bit of Harold Bloom. Do you know who Harold Bloom is?
Yes, The Age of Anxiety, 1971 or so, a famous New York critic representing the New York faction.
Okay.
In
Lit Crit. So he's talking about... Go ahead.
Lit Crit. He's the New York faction of the Lit Crit, and also a Yale guy. Let me see. Daniel Weiss, born April 23rd, Shakespeare's birthday, 1971, is an American author. Okay, let's see who. Adaptation of. Okay, he says he's particularly collaborating with David Benioff. Is that who you're trying to think of?
No. Yeah.
David?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and then it says, as screenwriters and executive producers of Game of Thrones, the HBO adaptation of George Martin's series of books. Well, so it's not based on Weiss, but he's a writer on the show. Is that the point?
Yes. That's the point.
So
and the Arthur is even cooler, like Tolkien type of author who wrote the novel.
Who's Arthur? It's George Martin.
Yeah, is it J.R.R. Martin?
Yes, that's the author of the Game of Thrones. So you're saying he's cooler than David.
Yeah, I think. And then it took these guys to bring it to life in the HBO series. That's my perception.
They brought life? Say that again?
Oh, no, they brought it to life in the HBO series. The novels are really cool in and of themselves, but it took really talented screenwriters to make it into a screenplay.
Okay, so read some more quotes. Let's see what he's got from Don Thiel. If you find that.
Okay, that's a little further. So I'm just going to go in order, if that's okay. I'm not going to go through line by line. I just have some stuff highlighted.
Good.
So then here's another little quote. Like non-specialist electric technologies, like the total field of sound described by McLuhan, the wake eliminates fragmented specialties of form and function that we have long accepted as the heritage of alphabet printing and mechanization.
Boy, this sounds like what I would say on CKLN. When did he write this? What's the date of the Masters?
It didn't have a date on it. I tried to figure that out.
Well, 20 years ago,
like
it could be the 90s.
I was thinking 95.
Yes, Don Steele became known in 92, so he would have come across Steele 92 to 95. That makes sense.
Okay. And this guy goes by Dan Weiss in this paper for school, and then now he goes by his initials. So
D.B. Weiss, yes.
Yeah, he was a younger kid at this time.
Next quote.
Here's another brief quote. Like Joyce, McLuhan was interested in anything and everything. He was a polymaniac.
Yeah.
Okay. The weight presents immense initial cognitive and imaginative difficulties, but it does so for everyone democratically, giving the unskilled rare equal footing with professionals. Joyce wanted to let people in a book about everything, everyone plays a part.
Good.
That's certainly been my experience, because I don't have any expertise in this. Okay, then he's talking a little bit about Einstein and the expanding universe and how the pages of The Wake expanded in development and then got more dense and more difficult as Joyce was putting layer upon layer upon layer of meaning. And here's the quote about that. And herein lies the difficulty with bright-eyed attempts to, quote, understand The Wake. The act of understanding runs counter to the act of creating. It is not an act of creating, but an act of unraveling.
That's good. That's good. Like that.
Okay. Then he goes on to talk a little bit about Joyce's daughter. Is it Lucia or Lucia?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Lucia. Let's say Lucia.
Okay, Lucia, that she had schizophrenia. So as his daughter Lucia's schizophrenia worsened, Joyce alone had the ability to follow her giant steps of thought that baffled others completely. His ability to traverse the flux of her wild metaphoric correspondence is evident in his masterwork.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know if anyone's ever said that before, but that's interesting to think of it as. And it wouldn't be schizophrenic, it'd be quadraphrenic, but...
Yeah, I talked to the James Joyce through the Evergreens about that. He says something different, and about the problem the daughter had, this and that. Maybe I could play that someday.
Okay.
So back to the book.
Okay. So then he's talking about, he's going to set up to talk about how this is like hypertext. And he says, lexicographers eventually came to understand that organizing knowledge in interconnected semantic fields made more sense than linear alphabetic organization in many cases.
And okay, this is his Achilles heel. Hypertext is in the Thompson quadrant. That's still a literate bias. They are multi-specialists of content, not multi-disciplines of sensory synesthesia or environmental synesthesia. So he is reducing it to an alphabetic thing, even though it's hypertext alphabetic. He's making he's missing the television aspect of it, unless he talks about it later.
No, in fact, he seemed to be saying to me that he thought this hypertext part of it kind of even replaced the television aspect of it. So that might be where the whole thing kind of falls apart.
Well, that's the text of 1.0 internet, the typing of the text base before Web 2.0. And Don Thiel wrote, it depends on how close Dan Weiss got Thiel's message, because Thiel knows it's a hypertext of media, not just of literary text. And that's the thing.
Right,
so we would look for quotes.
And he does talk about...
We would look for quotes to see if D.B. Weiss gets this point. He has to state it.
He talks about it later, and he talks about a potential online Wake that was linked with all sorts of recordings and videos and a multimedia.
Right.
Wake.
Okay, well, that's a little better. And
okay.
This is what Don Thiel retrieved, finning his wake at the beginning of the digiculture in the early 90s, and made a name for himself saying that Finnegan's Wake outdid McLuhan in anticipating the internet culture. So so we would look at how D.B. Weiss, how he uses McLuhan and how he acknowledges that Thiel went further than McLuhan. And then you'd have a certainty that he is getting to the hypermedia the level he should.
He doesn't give them that much credit.
He doesn't give who?
It's not Thiel and McLuhan. Donald and
Marshall. Well, he's saying their thesis. So who does he give credit to?
Well, he does give credit to them, but it's not like he's saying, like you just said, and I've developed their ideas, and I think, I mean, he's not expressing allegiance to their ideas or anything like that.
Probably because he wasn't allowed.
Okay.
He wasn't allowed. His professors do not tolerate McLuhan, usually in academia, and I don't know what they thought of Don Thiel. Some of the major Joyce scholars thought Don Thiel was ridiculous, his later work. So he might have been forced to go with, so what does it look like in his bibliography he quotes more? You want to list some of the names?
Well, there's
got
one,
Echo.
Was that Echo? Oh, you want me to list, look at other people
yeah,
besides
yeah,
them? Okay, let me get to the back here. Yeah, it's a big bibliography. Okay, he's got Tim Ahern, James Atherton, James Joyce, Jonathan Barnes, Jean Baudrillard, Samuel Beckett, Walter Benjamin, Harold Bloom, David Bohm, and David Peet, Jay Bolter, Norman O. Brown, Jerome Brunner, Thomas Cahill, Joseph Campbell and Henry Morton Robinson. That's their skeleton key to Finnegan's Wake. Peter Coveney and Roger Heifeld. Sri K. Damanamanande, some Sanskrit name. Barbara DuBernard, Echo. Elizabeth Einstein. Richard Stedman. R.F. Foster. Lawrence Garfield. Kurt Gödel. Larry Gonick. Adeline Glashine, Heather Green, Clive Hart, Douglas Hofstadler, Michael Joyce, and then James Joyce, some other stuff of his. Hugh Kenner, George Landau, Michael Matt, Tom MacArthur, Ronald McHugh. You want me to keep reading? I'll tell you
this. This is good. It's very good. No,
is
keep reading. It's very good.
Keep reading.
He's got good names.
Okay, Marshall McLuhan, Bernard Meehan, Raymond Mendoza, Louis Mink, Ernest Nagel and James Newman, Flann O'Brien, Carl Sauer, Donald Thiel, Beyond Orality, Literary Dichotomy, James Joyce, and the Prehistory of Cyberspace. That's the Thiel he's quoting.
What was the last
one? Beyond the Orality.
Yeah, Dichotomy.
Yeah.
Beyond
dichotomy,
the Orality.
James. It's James Joyce and the Prehistory of Cyberspace in Hypermedia
yep.
Joyce Studies.
What's the year?
Summer 1995.
Yeah, see? So we know his thesis is after that.
Okay. Tracy Thompson, Darren Toff, David Topp, Jim
Batista. What was that last name?
Actually, it's Toop. T-O-O-P, David Toop.
Oh, he's a music, pop music historian or something. I've heard about him.
Ocean of Sound, Ambient Sound and Imagery.
Right.
Then he quotes Vico, the new science guy. We've talked about him before. Henry Clark Warren, Christopher Westlin, Gary Wolf. Francis
Gary Wolf does psychic stuff. No, that's Wired Magazine. Sorry, Wired Magazine, right?
Yeah, he's Wired, yep. And that's it.
Chantilly McLuhan, does he quotes the article, Chantilly McLuhan?
No.
Gary Wolf, what does Gary Wolf write?
The Wisdom of St. Marshall, the Holy Fool,
yeah,
from Wired.
Yeah, that's the article. That's January 96.
Oh, it's the Wisdom of St. Marshall. Oh, it's St. Marshall. Oh.
Yeah, and Gary Wolf fakes Chantilly McLuhan. I write about that in my Up the Orphic Andy. Keep going.
Oh, that's the end of his bibliography.
Could you read? Somebody came to the door, so I missed a bit. Could you go back to the, say, PQRS? What are some of the names there?
Sure. Sorry, I flipped back to the front. Hang on. That's a very sophisticated list.
Yeah, it's a very sophisticated list.
And it's only a 64-page paper. It's not that long.
Right, it's only a master's. It's not a PhD.
Exactly. Okay, so LMN. Okay, I'm going to go to, it goes from Flann O'Brien, Carl Sauer, Donald Thiel, Tracy Thompson, Darren Toft, David Toop, Jim Batista.
Okay, now go back before that. Go back to H-I-J-K.
Okay. H, Clive Hart, Douglas Hofstadler, Michael Joyce, James Joyce, Hugh Kenner, George Landau, Daniel Matt, Tom MacArthur, Roland McHugh. And then
those
Marshall
are the names
McClellan.
I missed. Yeah, no, that's great. I would like to read that thesis someday.
Sure.
Is that available? Public?
Yeah, I got it online. I found it, you know.
Yeah.
It was revealed to me. I wasn't even really looking.
It's very Dobbsian. He's got a good range of people. And since the late 90s, not so hard to do it, but he read the correct people. He found the right people to do that kind of thesis.
Do you want me to read you what he's saying about TV? Do you want me to skip to that? And then
we
can move on to something else? Okay.
Yeah.
And this is toward the end of the thesis is broken down into two 36-page sections. This is the concluding part of the first section, just to give you an idea of where it falls. It is the perceptual influence of television that has prepared a younger generation of potential readers to apprehend the wake far more easily and more comprehensively than their elders. TV will not work as background. It engages you. You have to be with it, says McLuhan of TV's non-visual mosaic structure, the structure it shares with modern art, modern physics, and computer networks. Like the wake, television demands involvement and participation. He talks about the remote control next.
Okay.
And how television, more specifically the remote control, gave birth to the channel surfing from one narrative wave to another and back again, the precursor of the net surfing that at the time of this writing is already a tired cliche. The other Joyce in this discussion, Michael says of his book Of Two Minds. So this is Michael Joyce of Two Minds.
Yes.
Already with, and is Michael Joyce related to James Joyce?
No.
Okay. Already with remote control Channer Zapper in hand, most of us can track multiple narrative headline loops and touchdown drives simultaneously across cable transmissions and stratified time. In the network, we know that what is of value is what can be used and that we can shift values everywhere, instantly, individually, as we will. Thus, the cognitive mode we have to switch into if we are to ride the wake, instead of being drowned under in an overload of information, there's the maelstrom, which we mistakenly try to absorb in an orderly accountant's fashion, like the director of a live TV news broadcast. The wake reader has to put together a narrative or many alternative narratives from a dizzying influx of events, perspectives, information. The jarring dislocations we often feel when the wake abruptly shifts gears from prehistoric hunter-gatherers to ham radio operators is perfectly encapsulated by the TV phase. And now that is the best three-word summary of postmodernism that I know. And now this.
That's Michael Joyce.
That's Michael Joyce. He's quoting Michael Joyce.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Note that they're dealing with a variety for the eyeball. They're still visually biased. They might include a bit of sound, but they don't get the kinetic and proprioceptor parts of the wake, the autonomic parts that Ion talks about. They're talking about the the multiplicity of the image in the modern media environment that young people can relate to Finnings Wake. So McLuhan said in 1970 Finnings Wake had not entered into the waking life of the population as T.S. Eliot's famous phrase, paragraph on the acoustic or auditory imagination. So the Finneganese imagination was not apparent to anybody in 1970, and that's the wave that McLuhan surfed. So after the afterimage of the Android meme, which according to my chart is based on Finnegan's Wake, then you have the afterimage of it from 95 to 2000. That's when the thing that Michael Joyce is describing there becomes a cliche, and someone can write a master's thesis on it. So it shows that Finnegan's Wake has come into the waking life of people. Pretty close, anyways. Mm-hmm. And then that's when, starting in 2000, that's when the ion starts creeping in, what I call the AP over the AM in my chart. Anthropomorphic physical dominates the Android meme. So that's a great, very good thesis that's accurate, that's up to date, as far as pre-ion. Now, the challenge, like for every Joycean or McLuhanite or Baudrillardian, is, Mr. Weiss, are you taking the drops? Are you ready for the present that Joyce really pointed to? You know, ioned him. That's the test. Even if he's doing well on the TV show, that's all nothing unless he gets to our situation. And many have, but we don't know about him. But that is a PhD. That's a good one, or a master's that, to give out to people, to your friends. That's a good introduction, you know, remedial introduction to why the wake is relevant and why the way Ion talks about the world stands on that perception that that book is, that thesis is trying to explain. You know,
here's
I ain't
another,
going past
here's,
it. Go
here's
ahead.
Another Seal quote. Here's
okay.
Quoting Donald here. Joyce foresees the transformation, not the death of the book. Going beyond
did you
the
say,
book,
I missed the verb. Joyce what? Joyce refused? What was the verb?
Foresees. Foresees.
What?
F-O-R-E-S-E-E-S.
No, no, foresees what?
The transformation of, not the death of the book, of the book.
Right, the transformation of the book. That's Don's thesis, that the book, people miss that McLuhan meant by obsolescence, not that the book disappears, but it gets transformed into many different uses and forms, which we have seen since the 70s. One of the new forms of the book is the popularity in the 80s was books of lists. People started to buy books with lists in them. Okay, what? Continue the quote.
Beyond the book as it has historically evolved to resituate the book within this new communicative cosmos.
Yes.
Love
so
that.
This Daniel guy is lucky to have whoever turned him on to Thiel and McLuhan, he got a lucky break in writing his thesis.
Now, I want to talk a little bit
Now, I'll just say this, Katie. I would quote this kind of material that he's quoting in the 80s on CKLN Toronto Radio. So I guess 10 years before he would.
Wow. Okay.
And I was, of course, considered ridiculous.
Well, they just didn't get it.
No. The Finnegan's Wake had not entered the waking life yet. It took the Internet, and that's Don's, part of Don's theme is like Finnegan's Wake predicts the medium and the lifestyle that that medium brings as the agency of making the Finnegan's Wake.
Right.
See, the pun,
well,
the pun right there.
Interesting, too, because as I was reading this and clicking around and looking at some other stuff and just kind of surfing and enjoying, I read another article that was like 10 famous authors commenting on Joyce. No one mentioned Finnegan's Wake. Everybody's like, Ulysses.
Right. Yeah, even Kurt Vonnegut said he didn't know why that book was written and it was a failure. See, the World War II generation, my generation, didn't get it. They didn't understand the Wake. It took Generation X. Was he born 1971? So he's Generation X, D.B. Weiss, you know? They get it. So, that's what's now this all relates to Ion. This is, you understand what Joyce did, how he's expressing Iondom, and then you find out what Joyce and McLuhan and Thiel missed. And then you see what Dobbstown brought to the Eiendom insight or environment.
Well, that's what I'm interested in talking with Ion about, too, is like kind of doing a mechanical bride, but going beyond and talking about some of the spiritual technologies that people are interested in now and how Ion completes them and how what's the media mix of someone who would be attracted to that so that you don't have to look at it as a mistake.
Attracted to what?
You bought it.
What's the media mix?
Like, of course.
No, attracted to what? What direction?
Various spiritual technologies that are very popular right now among people who might cling to them, not knowing that Ion completes them. And John and Sasha were kind of talking about that a little bit last week when I listened back to the archives, like, who would be attracted to A Course in Miracles, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, all the stuff.
Well, that would be, I'd be an expert on that, but it'd be interesting to hear what Ion, that's what my chart is partly about. If you take the subculture of the New Age, and then you would apply the four quadrants to different types of New Age genres. You see, the Marianne Williamson goes into politics, so she's in the LaRouche quadrant. Okay? But the this is what we should get into with Zen Woman, because this is where Paul Williams and P.K. Dick will fit into these categories. So, of course, too bad she's not hearing this. Your preamble here is preparing a Zen Woman for our discussion, and she's missing it.
Well,
she decided to go to dinner. Right? What a stupid thing to do! Go to dinner. That's silly. even if it was her lost mom buddies, she's not getting it. Not getting that the importance of this evening for her. She'll have lots of opportunities to go to dinner and the rest of her day. So she's missing this part, which will create a gap in our conversation. But we will pursue, and she'll have to just play catch up.
Yeah, and I do think when John and Sasha were talking last week about what Sasha was saying, often she has friends who she thinks are, she didn't say like-minded, but who might be open to some of the stuff that we're talking about. And then when she plays Ion for them, sometimes there's like a violent rejection. And what causes that? And I'm interested in looking at...
You know what I would say? Hey, if you may say something after I say this. What causes that reaction is the naivety. They do not know Dobbstown, Finnegan's Wake stuff. See, some people like me, and they don't like Ion, because they're still trying to figure out what this master's thesis is about. Once they get that, then they can hear Ion differently. But until then, they think that I'm presenting something different. But I'm not. I'm preparing the groundwork. And anybody who doesn't like what Dobbstown is presenting has not gone through the vanishing point that McLuhan, Joyce, and Thiel present. And that's the crux of the matter here. You've worked your way through, at least you found this stuff. You're finding the important stuff. Your dowsing is working really good as you're attempting to not fall back into that old categories that you were in. So you see how fast it can be done? You're finding very good sources.
Well, they're being revealed to me. I'm at a phase recently that's just so fabulous because I don't have to look for anything. In all areas of life, people are just coming up to me revealing things that are just so perfect and endlessly fascinating that I don't even remember how I came across this, what I was even looking for. And there it was. And it's perfect. But one of the things that I'm interested in, though, it seems like often someone will get close and then the piece that's really difficult for them that causes them to not go all the way, this vanishing point thingy that you just talked about, is the whole, like, I'm God thing. So I'd like to read this little... What?
Let me just draw. I think that's looks like Greg and Ginny were talking to somebody, so I just muted them. Go ahead.
Okay.
You were saying...
I'm going to just back up one more second, too. Like, things that... I'm going to want to read a quote. Things that I'd be interested to ask Ion are, for instance, Kenneth Wapnick, the head of the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, transitioned around Christmas time in December. Why? I mean, if A Course in Miracles is supposed to be written by Jesus, and Jesus said that we could beat the grave, why would the Foundation for why would he transition? Like, where did he miss that piece? Those are the kinds of questions
he missed spinning its wake, because the New Age is basically the Thompson Quadrant, and you'll see that the support medium in that is the printed book, and the environment is holopathic computer satellite. But the printed book is the bias of that quadrant, and that's what the New Age is. They're retrieving the printed book, and they can't take Finnegan's Wake, because that would destroy their bias. And so if you come into in the last 30 years from the 19th century, you will die. You would just say you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Well, I'm still interested in knowing, if we could, what their experience was like.
Yeah, no, it'd be good.
Of having that bias shattered. Does that make sense to you? Because I think many times people are close. Or like, and I know this is Zen Woman's topic, we'll get there, but like, Philip K. Dick, why was he an amphetamine addict? Why couldn't he leave the house? Why did he sell a script for $125 that made $2 million in Hollywood later? Like, he was so close, he got the parallel world thing. I'm even kind of feeling slippage that way lately sometimes, where I feel like I'm kind of like
teetering
around.
And who
around
got this? The guy who died at Christmas? You're talking about the guy who died at Christmas?
No, now I'm talking about Philip K. Dick. This is another, or I won't even bring that up because that'll be for Zen Woman. Let me bring up someone else.
Yeah.
Jane Roberts. Channel Seth has crippling arthritis. Why? Was she passing heresy through her body and she was like freaked out because she thought everybody was going to criticize her? I don't know. I'm interested in those kinds of things.
Gary Renard.
What?
Gary Renard?
Yeah, that'd be another guy I would be interested in knowing about. He's another mouthpiece for A Course in Miracles. Probably more popular than Marianne Williamson right now.
Yeah.
He claims that two ascended masters showed up to him and dictated his books.
See, these are silly ideas. The whole thing is silly, ascended masters. The Ion comes through and says, anybody who's talking about any ascended master would never tell you it was.
Right.
So if you hear from an ascended master, you ain't got one.
Correct. But I wonder what his experience is like. And then he's womenizing all these women and going to Course in Miracles conventions and getting drunk and masturbating in his bedroom, and people are touching him, and he's, I mean, like, acting crazy.
People are
crazy.
Touching him, did you say? People are touching him?
No, people are catching him. Like, imagine if you...
Masturbating in his bedroom. Masturbating in his bedroom.
Yes, drunk. Yes, at a conference.
That's good.
I know, right? But anyway, those are things that I've been interested in talking to Ian about. And maybe I would, maybe he would just like complete
them
all.
Well, you will.
And
you will. As soon as Ian comes in, you just barge in.
Okay. But listen,
I asked Ian the other day. I asked Ian, how are the Ionettes, especially the new Ionettes, doing? Anybody ascending? And he named two. He named one of them was you, Katie. See, so all you dummies out there, don't talk, don't do your homework, don't start Bob stuff. You're not ascending. Katie is, though. Katie got mentioned. She got mentioned by Ion. And I'm not even supposed to say that. But what the fuck? We'll put it out there. I won't mention the other person that Ion said. But you deserve it. I mean, look what she found, people. She found the key PhD, master's thesis as a great introduction to ancient Dobbstown.
Okay, so I'm going to finish that thought and then I'll read this quote. But do you think it's a good idea to go through, like, this is what I think I'd like to ask Ian about these various spiritual paths as technology.
Do it. You don't have to think about it. You just do it. As soon as Ian shows up, you start yelling those questions.
But I think that would be like a mechanical bride of now, of like a mechanical bride of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. Like, because I don't want to help anybody at all. But also, if we kind of knew what it might be like for somebody to have their precious path dismantled, like, what does that look like? It might make it easier on people. I don't know. I don't want to help anyone, but it is interesting to explore, especially since I've done most of them. So, here's this last little quote, and this is another example of somebody having kind of an issue with claiming that they're God, not activating their divinity, not having a spark of divinity within, but someone saying straight up, I'm God. So Joyce aspired to a position of godhood. He longed to replace the creation with his own and become an unmoved mover, the sole living figure who escaped the snares of Indra's net.
Is that Joseph Campbell? Did Campbell write that?
No, this is Anxiety of Influence.
Bloom,
he wrote that.
Bloom, yeah. Harold
Bloom.
Okay,
this is Bloom. Yeah, this is Harold Bloom. Okay, Joyce Bruno's haughty... Okay.
Go ahead.
Joyce took Bruno's haughtiness to heart. Unless you make yourself equal to God, you cannot understand God. For the like is not intelligible to save the like. His first play, A Brilliant Career, is dedicated to my own soul. The explanation of why he could never write a great play...
Whose play, My Brilliant Career?
I thought that was Joyce's play.
No, he didn't write. He only did one play, Exiles.
Okay, then I don't know.
Is that Bruno? Let's look that up. I don't know. I've heard the phrase, but it's like a modern play. Are you sure you're reading it sentence by sentence properly?
Yes.
Did Bruno do My Brilliant Career? Maybe. I never heard of it. So, Bruno, My Brilliant Career. He was murdered. He didn't have time to write a play. And people didn't have the words career back then. Okay, My Brilliant Career is a 1901 novel written by Miles Franklin. So let's read this closely, what you're quoting.
Well, I don't even have to go through all that.
No, I want to find it out. I want to know what Bloom is talking about.
Okay, so what do you want me to do? Start at the beginning of the paragraph again?
Yeah. Well, to get to the point that Joyce is a god, then he says, to understand Joyce, you have to be a god or be equal. Right about there.
Okay. For the like is not intelligible save to the like. So if you want to be God, if you want to understand God, you have to be God. That's what he's saying. For the like is not intelligible save for the like.
And that's Harold Bloom?
Yes. And then I'm going to skip down to this other part that I highlighted. I was talking about Atherton. Atherton comes close.
No, wait. The
sentence.
Brilliant Career sentence. We got to explain that.
Oh,
what?
Okay. His first play. His first play, A Brilliant Career, is.
See, you got to read the transition from the Bloom quote. Is it Bloom continuing, or is it someone else that you didn't notice?
I thought it was still Bloom.
Okay. Well, let's read it. Read the last before you get to My Brilliant Career and hear that sentence.
Okay, that's it. Joyce took Bruno's haughtiness to heart. Unless you make yourself equal to God, you cannot understand God. For the like is not intelligible save to the like. His first play, A Brilliant Career, is dedicated to my own soul. The explanation of why...
A Brilliant Career. Okay, it's not My Brilliant Career. It's A Brilliant Career. Okay, A Brilliant Career. A Brilliant... My brilliant, my... Maybe I'll put in Bruno beside it, see if that comes up.
Yeah.
Brilliant Career. Paper Cuts is a Portuguese electronic music project. They say, I'm quoting, maybe they released an album. So that's not, so we got to look at what you either pasted something or what is a brilliant, read that sentence again, A Brilliant Career.
Yeah, his first play, A Brilliant Career, is dedicated to my own soul.
Okay, Giordano Bruno, see if that's. Doesn't look like Bruno did anything like that.
Okay, well, I'll see if I can't find it. I've got this huge book on my lap.
There.
Okay. I printed out a huge copy of The Wake that I had to put into two huge binders, and I have one sitting on my lap so I can't move to get on my computer. Here's my point. This last quote is, the joy-centric vision is that Joyce saw himself as a poet and a prophet, and his work as the sacred book of a new religion, but he is too cautious to take the final step. So that to me, this being too cautious to take the final step, seems to be the undoing of many, many, many a path.
Right. Now, is that another quote from Bloom?
I don't know. It's all in the same paragraph.
Okay, so you've got to figure out, you've got to find out what those quotes are. Look at whatever you're reading. We're going to take a break.